Eisenhorn, Xenos, by Dan Abnett. Read by Toby Longworth. Chapter 1. A cold coming. Death in the dormant vaults. Some puritanical reflections. Hunting the recidivist Murdin Eichlone, I came to Hubris in the dormant of 240 M41, as the Imperial Sidereal Calendar has it. Dormant lasted 11 months of Hubris's 29-month lunar year, and the only signs of life were the custodians with their lighted poles and heat gowns, patrolling the precincts of the hibernation tombs. Within those sulking basalt and ceramite vaults, the grandees of Hubris slept, dreaming in crypts of aching ice, awaiting thaw, the middle season between dormant and vital. Even the air was frigid. Frost encrusted the tombs, and a thick cake of ice covered the featureless land. Above, star patterns twinkled in the curious, permanent night. One of them was Hubris's son, so far away now. Come thaw, Hubris would spin into the warm embrace of its star again. Then it would become a blazing globe. Now it was just a fuzz of light. As my gun cutter set down on the landing cross at Tomb Point, I had pulled on an internally heated bodyskin and swathes of sturdy, insulated foul weather gear, but still the perilous cold cut through me now. My eyes watered, and the tears froze on my lashes and cheeks. I remembered the details of the cultural brief my savant had prepared, and quickly lowered my frost visor, trembling as warm air began to circulate under the plastic mask. Custodians, alerted to my arrival by astropathic hails, stood waiting for me at the base of the landing cross. Their lighted poles dipped in obeisance in the frozen night, and the air steamed with the heat that bled from their cloaks. I nodded to them, showing their leader my badge of office. An ice car awaited, a rust-coloured arrowhead 20 meters long, mounted on ski-blade runners and spiked tracks. It carried me away from the landing cross, and I left the winking signal lights and the serrated dagger shape of my gun cutter behind in the perpetual winter night. The spiked tracks kicked up blizzards of rime behind us. Ahead, despite the lamps, the landscape was black and impenetrable. I rode with Loris Vibben and 3 custodians in a cabin lit only by the amber glow of the craft's control panel. Heating vents recessed in the leather seats breathed out warm, stale air. A custodian handed back a data slate to Vibben. She looked at it cursorily and passed it on to me. I realized my frost visor was still down. I raised it and began to search my pockets for my eyeglasses. With a smile, Vibben produced them from within her own swaddled, insulated garb. I nodded thanks, put them on my nose, and began to read. I was just calling up the last plates of text when the ice car halted. "Processional 212," announced one of the custodians. We dismounted, sliding our visors down into place. Jewels of frost flakes fluttered in the blackness around us, sparkling as they crossed through the ice car's lamp beams. I've heard of bitter cold. Emperor, grace me, I never feel it again. Biting, crippling, actually bitter to taste on the tongue. Every joint in my frame protested and creaked. My hands and my mind were numb. That was not good. Processional 212 was a hibernation tomb at the west end of the Great Imperial Avenue. It housed 12,142 members of the Hubris ruling elite. We approached the great monument, crunching up the black, frost-coated steps. I halted. "Where are the tomb's custodians?" "Making their rounds," I was told. I glanced at Vibben and shook my head. She slid her hand into her fur-edged robes. "Knowing we approach," I urged, addressing the custodian again. "Knowing we expect to meet them." "I will check," said the custodian, the one who had circulated the slate. He pushed on up the steps, the phosphor light on his pole bobbing. The other two seemed ill at ease. I beckoned to Vibben, so she would follow me up after the leader. We found him on a lower terrace, gazing at the strewn bodies of four custodians, their light poles fizzling out around them.
How?
He stammered.
Stay back,
Vibben told him and drew her weapon. Its tiny amber armed rune glowed in the darkness. I took out my blade, igniting it. It hummed. The south entry of the tombs was open. Shafts of golden light shone out. All my fears were rapidly being confirmed. We entered, Vibben sweeping the place from side to side with her handgun. The hall was narrow and high, lit by chemical glow globes. Intruding frost was beginning to mark the polished basalt walls. A few meters inside, another custodian lay dead in a stiffening mirror of blood. We stepped over him. To each side, hallways opened up, admitting us to the hibernation stacks. In every direction, rows and rows of ice berths ranged down the smoothed basalt chambers. It was like walking into the Imperium's grandest morgue. Vibben swept soundlessly to the right, and I went left. I admit I was excited by now, eager to close and conclude a business that had lasted 6 years. Eichlone had evaded me for 6 whole years. I studied his methods every day and dreamed of him every night. Now I could smell him. I raised my visor. Water was pattering from the roof. Thaw water. It was growing warmer in here. In their ice berths, some of the dim figures were stirring. Too early. Far too early. Eichlone's first man came at me from the west as I crossed a trunk junction corridor. I spun, the power sword in my hand, and cut through his neck before his ice axe could land. The second came from the south, the third from the east, and then more. More. A blur. As I fought, I heard furious shooting from the vaults away to my right. Vibben was in trouble. I could hear her over the vox link in our hoods. Eisenhorn! Eisenhorn! I wheeled and cut. My opponents were all dressed in heat gowns and carried ice tools that made proficient weapons. Their eyes were dark and unforthcoming. Though they were fast, there was something in them that suggested they were doing this mindlessly, by order. The power sword, an antique and graceful weapon, blessed by the provost of Inks himself, spun in my hand. With 5 abrupt moves, I made corpses out of them and left their blood vapor drifting in the air. Eisenhorn! I turned and ran. I splashed heavily down a corridor sluiced with meltwater. More shots from ahead. A sucking cry. I found Vibben face down across a freezer tube, frozen blood gluing her to the sub-zero plastic. 8 of Eichlone's servants lay sprawled around her. Her weapon lay just out of reach of her clawing hand, the spent cell ejected from the grip. I am 42 standard years old, in my prime by Imperial standards, young by those of the Inquisition. All my life I have had a reputation for being cold, unfeeling. Some have called me heartless, ruthless, even cruel. I am not. I am not beyond emotional response or compassion. But I possess, and my masters count this as perhaps my paramount virtue, a singular force of will. Throughout my career it has served me well to draw on this facility and steel myself, unflinching, at all that this wretched galaxy can throw at me. To feel pain or fear or grief is to allow myself a luxury I cannot afford. Loris Vibben had served with me for 5.5 years. In that period she had saved my life 2. She saw herself as my aid and my bodyguard, yet, in truth, she was more a companion and a fellow warrior. When I recruited her from the clan slums of Tornish, it was for her combat skills and brutal vigor, but I came to value her just as much for her sharp mind, soft wit, and clear head. I stared down at her body for a moment. I believe I may have uttered her name. I extinguished my power sword and, sliding it into its scabbard, moved back into the shadows on the far side of the hibernation gallery. I could hear nothing except the increasingly persistent thaw drip. Freeing my sidearm from its leather rig under my left armpit, I checked its load and opened a vox link. Eichlone was undoubtedly monitoring all traffic in and out of Processional 212, so I used Glossier an informal verbal cipher known only to myself and my immediate colleagues. Most inquisitors develop their own private languages for confidential communication, some more sophisticated than others. Glossia, the basics of which I had designed 10 years before, was reasonably complex and had evolved organically with use. Thorn wishes Aegis, rapturous beasts below. Aegis, arising, the colours of space, Betancourt responded immediately and correctly. Rose Thorn, abundant, by flame-light crescent. A pause. By flame-light crescent. Confirm. Confirm. Razor Delphus pathway. Pattern ivory. Pattern denied. Pattern crucible. Aegis, arising. The link broke. He was on his way. He had taken the news of Vibben's death as hard as I expected. I trusted that would not affect his performance. Midas Betancourt was a hot-blooded, impetuous man, which was partly why I liked him, and used him. I moved out of the shadows again, my sidearm raised. A Scipio-pattern naval pistol, finished in dull chrome with inlaid ivory grips, it felt reassuringly heavy in my gloved hand. 10 rounds, everyone a fat, blunt man-stopper, were spring-loaded into the slide inside the grip. I had 4 more armed slides just like it in my hip pocket. I forget where I acquired the Scipio. It had been mine for a few years. One night, 3 years before, Vibben had prized off the ceramite grip plates with their touch-worn, machine-stamped engravings of the Imperial Aquila and the Navy motto, and replaced them with ivory grips she had etched herself. A common practice on Tornish, she informed me, handing the weapon back the next day. The new grips were like crude scrimshaw, showing on each side a poorly executed human skull through which a thorny rose entwined, emerging through an eye socket, shedding cartoon droplets of blood. She'd inlaid carmine gems into the droplets to emphasize their nature. Below the skull, my name was scratched in a clumsy scroll. I had laughed. There had been times when I'd almost been too embarrassed to draw the gang-marked weapon in a fight. Now she was dead. I realized what an honor had been paid to me through that devoted work. I made a promise to myself. I would kill Eiklone with this gun. As a devoted member of His High Majesty the God Emperor's Inquisition, I find my philosophy bends towards that of the Amalathians. To the outside galaxy, members of our orders appear much alike. An inquisitor is an inquisitor, a being of fear and persecution. It surprises many that, internally, we are riven with clashing ideologies. I know it surprised Vibben. I spent one long afternoon trying to explain the differences. I failed. To express it in simple terms, some inquisitors are Puritans and some are radicals. Puritans believe in and enforce the traditional station of the Inquisition, working to purge our galactic community of any criminal or malevolent element, the triumvirate of evil, alien, mutant, and demon. Anything that clashes with the pure rule of mankind, the preachings of the Ministerium, and the letter of imperial law is subject to a Puritan inquisitor's attention. Hard line, traditional, merciless. That is the Puritan way. Radicals believe that any methods are allowable if they accomplish the inquisitorial task. Some, as I understand it, actually embrace and use forbidden resources such as the warp itself as weapons against the enemies of mankind. I have heard the arguments often enough. They appall me. Radical belief is heretical. I am a Puritan by calling and an Amalathian by choice. The ferociously strict ways of the monodominant philosophy oft-times entices me. But there is precious little subtlety in their ways, and thus it is not for me. Amalathians take our name from the conclave at Mount Amalath. Our endeavour is to maintain the status quo of the Imperium, and we work to identify and destroy any persons or agencies that might destabilize the power of the Imperium from without or within. We believe in strength through unity. Change is the greatest enemy. We believe the God Emperor has a divine plan, and we work to sustain the Imperium in stability until that plan is made known. We deplore factions and infighting. Indeed, it is sometimes a painful irony that our beliefs mark us as a faction within the political helix of the Inquisition. We are the steadfast spine of the Imperium, its antibodies, fighting disease, insanity, injury, invasion. I can think of no better way to serve, no better way to be an Inquisitor. So, you have me then, pictured. Gregor Eisenhorn, Inquisitor, Puritan, Amalathian, 42 years old, standard. An Inquisitor for the past 18 years. I am tall and broad at the shoulders, strong, resolute. I have already told you of my force of will, and you will have noted my prowess with a blade. What else is there? Am I clean-shaven? Yes. My eyes are dark, my hair darker and thick. These things matter little. Come, and let me show you how I killed Eiklone.